Starting today, I had a meeting with the church in Columbus Friday, so they are gonna continue on their own now, so I'm on vacation. And, so I feel like I don't have to run out there every Sunday, and it was real joy and a pleasure being there with them. Many of you that went knew the love that we had in there, and the joy and the presence of the Lord, but they're gonna go ahead and go forward on their own. So just keep them in prayer and believe for God to build that fellowship up there. It was back in 2006 when I actually first got the vision for the remnant believers all over Wisconsin. It was 2010, I think, when I put out 780 letters to ministers all over the state, inviting them to a conference, which no one signed up. And then from there, probably 2011 or something, the Lord put it on my heart to start reaching out to the remnant believers all over the state of Wisconsin. And we did probably almost 20 cities, as many of you know, that participated in it. And one of the high points of it is that the church in Columbus, the Way Fellowship coming out of that. So I'm grateful for opportunity to be used of the Lord. It seems like, at least here in America, a lot of work is slow going. You know, we just always want such immediate results all the time. But things just take time. We just wait on the Lord. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, and thank for all you that went along with me, and we did revival meetings there, and we just such a, you know, something's of God when a pastor gets a vision and the body participates in it. You know, they're believing it's from God too, and so I so appreciate all your efforts and all your love and patience. I know my wife is happy. She has me home every Sunday. In fact, we're going to celebrate and maybe go out to eat even. So, anyways, thank you, Jack, for thanking me. Amen. You know, when it, all of us have those dishes in our house that says on the back, you cannot use them in a microwave. Well, that's the same thing for Christians. You cannot microwave a Christian. You know, to like get a love, I like baked potatoes, and I love that you can actually do it in like in 8 minutes instead of 45 minutes. Hello there. I thought maybe he saw me, I'd scare him off. I love happy kids, so. But anyways, Christians, you can't microwave them. You know, we're saved from darkness to light, from death to life. Just like that's the greatest, most rapid thing that'll ever happen in your spiritual life. Going from being a heathen, a sinner, to a saint of God. All in an instant. There'll be nothing that can ever match that again in your life. Our growth in the Lord is not microwavable. It takes fire, good old-fashioned fire. The burning of the fire in your heart will purge you and burn out all the dross in your life. That's what they say about silver or gold or anything. You can burn it and the dross comes to the surface. You can scoop it out, harden it up, and think, now I got pure gold, now I got pure silver. And then you put it under fire again, and sure enough, there's some more impurities. I guess that can go on forever and ever from what I heard. I'm not an expert. I don't have any gold. And maybe my ring, that's about it. But that's what I heard. But no matter how many times you do that, you can always find some more impurities. So same with us Christians. It takes fire burning in us to cause us to grow. I think probably, in my estimation, the number one frustration of pastors is to be amongst Christians that refuse to grow. Just have their own agenda. I mean, the church years ago started the Burger King philosophy, you can have it your way. And since then, it's just been a major frustration for churches to be filled with people that want to have it their way. And their way is usually a refusal to grow in the Lord. But another thing that plagues us is Christians being too impatient and being hard on themselves to grow quickly. That has been a source of frustration for believers. Waiting on the promises of God when there seems to be a delay can also frustrate a believer. I've spent plenty of time encouraging people, just wait. God spoke it. Give him time. He'll do it in his will, in his time. Many, many years ago, a buddy and I, we went out to the ski hill out here, Alpine Valley, where we're going to learn to ski. So we were over on the instructor had us over on the bunny hill or something like that and teaching us how to snow plow. If you're a skier, you know what that is. And then a kid fell down and got hurt, and it delayed our lessons. My buddy, he got impatient. So he decided to get his lift ticket and go up the hill. I hung in there, and I learned how to snow plow. So I got my lift ticket, so we're going down a hill. He just is learning to snow plow, so he's going down the hill like this, real slow. And I learned how to cut after we learned how to snow plow. So he's going down like this, real slow, and I'm zipping by him. On the way, I give him a little head start. And the whole point is he got impatient, and he wouldn't finish his lessons. So he got stuck snow plowing, and I got stuck looking like a pro going down there. That's what the lottery's all about. Casinos. You know, I believe, if you know me, you know I believe in good old-fashioned work. And if you're diligent and you're faithful to God, you'll build wealth. We can all run into problems, and the Lord's got that all under control. But for the average person, you just buckle down, and you'll attain the things that you want. But the get-rich theory has put a lot of people in bondage, going out to the casino, losing money, losing paychecks. What do they do next week? They have this idea, think maybe this is the time. This is the time, and then they go and lose their paycheck, go and come home and face mama, face the kids. And what do they do next week? Think they learn a lesson? Nope. Get rich quick. Christians grow a little at a time. The younger generation has grown up with this microwave mentality. Thank God as older believers don't have that, but we still can be impatient. Sometimes you just for practice get in the longer line at Walmart instead of looking for the shorter one. Go the way or the stoplights. I know where all the stoplights are longer, so I try to avoid those ways. But the major trick of the devil is to try to get Christians discouraged by telling them they aren't far enough along in their walk with the Lord. Has the devil ever told you that? You're nothing. You've been in this such a long time, and you're still sucking on a nipple. And he wants to discourage us. And Christians can have the wrong motivation for wanting to grow quick in the Lord because they want to make a name for themselves. But the devil, he's behind trying to frustrate us and get us discouraged. So the main point of this message is to encourage you, for one, to know that you're growing in the Lord and that you can continue to grow in the Lord, and the understand that the Lord knows what he's doing as he's leading you along. And actually, the sooner you give into that, actually, the quicker you will grow. I've seen people try to do things by themselves, and they do it the wrong way for a long time, and then they finally say, will somebody please show me how to do this? And then they can go about it the right way. So I have some text here this morning I'm going to preach from. And the first is in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 2. If you disagree with me in prayer this morning, I just pray, Lord God, I pray that each of us would be encouraged to understand, Lord, that you've set out, Lord, to see us grow in you, Lord, to learn to trust you, Lord, God, to learn to walk in your ways, O Lord, and we will grow, God, into the Christians that you've intended us for all of us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when the Lord your God, this is Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 2, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. So you can see that the Lord did more than just deliver Israel out of Egypt, just like he did more than just saving you so you get to go to heaven. But he called them to go and pursue a land. They had to go in and conquer. They had to pull up their own bootstraps. They had to arm themselves. They had to learn to fight. They had to go in and conquer the promised land. And same thing with God. He didn't just save us and then take us to heaven, but we're here for a purpose. We're here to pursue the kingdom of God. We're here to expand the kingdom of God. In Deuteronomy 6:23, this is what God said. He said, then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which we swore to our fathers. And it's a subject we talk about many times, but that ultimate place we're going into is in Christ. that's our pursuit. But God, God brought them out overnight, but it took them 40 years to get into the promised land. But actually, that they could have got in a lot quicker. But they, instead of going along with the program of God, they did it their own way. And what did it do? It took them 40 years. But if it took you 40 years to get in, praise God that you're there. And from this moment on, you can still grow in the Lord. Again, he was willing to bring them in sooner. And God is actually very insistent that he goes, and God is an insistent that we go in to the higher place with him. He's insistent that we go forward and advance his kingdom. Those that refused to go, it meant death for any man that was 20 years older. And of course, we're not here to conquer physical land. Well, I'm talking about spiritual growth. And when the church is strong, the results will be saved and discipled souls for the glory of God. I think one of the misunderstandings of our evangelism is we're not called to make converts. We're called to make disciples, right? Maybe you might lead someone to the Lord and not get a chance to disciple them. That's God's business. After all, Philip led the eunuch to the Lord, and God took and translated Philip out of there. So God had other plans for eunuch to get discipled, but nonetheless, it is our responsibility not just to see people saved, but to disciple them. This is the main thing that Sunday morning is about. At least it's supposed to be. We're being discipled, growing in the Lord. When we walk out of here, we're stronger, more encouraged, more filled with God, Christians, than when we walked in. Amen? When we enter in, it means we're entering into God's holiness. When we enter in, it means we're entering into righteous living. It's meaning that we're growing in Christ. This is what it means for us to enter in. And I want to make it very clear that God is not the one who is slack in bringing us to maturity. None of us can ever say to God, if it wasn't for God, I'd be a lot better Christian. He, for whatever reason, wanted to slow me down. He's not like that. If you desire to grow in the Lord, there's resistance on our side. We're not where we could be because of our own resistance against God. In fact, he says in 2 Peter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's like that towards the world. He's like that towards us. He's not slack in his dealing with us. Everything that he's doing is constantly taking us deeper in him. And the only reason we're not getting there is because of us. Not because, well, I want this person to grow faster than another, this person. Of course, he has callings on people. And he has to gift people to do things. And so it seems like they might be rising, rising at a faster pace. But it's because the Lord has a special call for people. But all of us have the privilege of growing in the Lord. We talk a lot here about the deepness of Christ, and I'm just trying to bring this back to simplicity, because sometimes we get lost in the deep thought and trying to pursue the deepness of God, and just bringing this back down to simple, basic Christianity. As I move on and kind of change the subject here a little bit, Exodus 23, 27 through 30, I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom, boy, what a good text for today, huh? For what we're facing. And will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But here's my title. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Some people despise the little by little. The Bible says not to despise those small beginnings, those small starts. Deuteronomy 7, 17 through 22. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left who hide themselves from you are destroyed. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. 2 Corinthians 3:18, scripture that is dear to many of you in here. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Great word. It means like a metamorphosis, like how a cocoon, a worm becomes a butterfly. That's how we're transformed. Into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I love that. From glory to glory, from faith to faith, we're growing in this thing. And the only reason you don't is because of you, not because of God. But again, we can try to get ahead of God. We can try to become big super Christian, big S, super saint overnight. Look at me. And the Lord teaches us. It's a step at a time that we do this, because we start out as babies. But if a baby would never grow, you would think there's something wrong with it. You would be taking your baby. If a little, I'm not going to remember my grandson's name, Brady, was this, and I just watched him yesterday. If next year he was still the same size, You'd be at the doctor probably way before that year was up. We would think there's something wrong with the baby. And I guess I think that sometimes about people. They claim they get saved, but they're still the same old person a year later. I don't think that about you, Brother Doug. You are a different person. Praise God. Sometimes I got to say that because people think, oh, is he talking about me? I'm not talking about you. For me personally, sometimes I feel like I'm so far behind what I should be in Christ. But then a moment later, I am so appreciating just how far the Lord brought me along in this. Amen. I want you to appreciate everything the Lord has done, the growth that he's given you. Maybe it may not be as what you think it could be, but it is growth. Hallelujah. That's the only Christian I get frustrated with is the one that don't grow. A lot of people get frustrated with the Christian that's got slow growth. I'm glad for a growth. Amen. I'll just eat that tomato a little later in the year. So how do we grow? Our text in Isaiah said precept must be upon precept and line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept means an injunction. An injunction is a judicial order requiring a person or persons to do or refrain from doing a particular act. So we do the will of God and we refrain from doing sins. These are the first things we learn as a Christian. I'm a Christian. Now I'm reading the word to learn how to live for God, and I am refraining from the sin that I used to commit. Sometimes we were doing things and we didn't realize we were sinful. And as you know, sometimes you always got some Christian that wants you to be like totally perfect overnight. They might say something to you, but I've had things that I did that were wrong, but as I'm serving the Lord, all of a sudden I realize I get a conviction and these things aren't right. So we're always learning that. Living God's word, one step of obedience at a time. This is how we are to live. No one will ever grow in the Lord if they do not get the basic foundation of Christianity down. We grow one commandment at a time. We grow one act of obedience at a time. I'm not saying that you don't obey a couple things at a time. I'm saying that every time you obey, and every time you believe the word and you live the word, you are taking steps towards the Lord. You are growing in the Lord. Every day there must be a determination to live righteous and holy lives. Each day will have its challenges that will come along. Each day you will have plenty of decisions to choose right from wrong. When you do right, you're growing in the Lord. You're adding to your growth. You're never ever saving yourself, but you are growing in the Lord. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 10, that as for this very reason, giving all diligence. This is you and me that this is referring to. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Listen to the promise of this. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren. You'll have growth in your life. Nor unfruitful, the fruit of the Spirit will be seen in your life in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Praise God. You know, Christian, you don't have to stumble. It says it right there. You don't have to stumble. I have. I think probably every one of us in here will say I've stumbled at times, but we don't have to. We set our heart to these things that Peter spoke about. Here's another way we grow. And it's James 1, 2 through 4. I was just telling, I think, Brother Lieber, that I was young in the Lord, and I took to memorizing the book of James, and I got the whole first chapter done. I was starting on the second chapter. Then I listened to the devil. He was a little bit right, too, but he says, you just want to memorize so you can show off. So I wouldn't doubt there was a little bit of that in my heart, but I sure wish I wouldn't listen to him. I'll tell you, I've used James 1, 2 through 4 thousands of times probably, ministering to people off the top of my bread, off of my head, still quoting it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Why should you count it joy? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. When you see the word perfect, it usually translated to mean complete. See the word complete, it usually means translated to complete. But here he's covering them both. Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And now we're talking about Christ here. You're lacking nothing in your relationship and with your walk with the Lord. What is the proof of growth in your life? It's line upon line. You need to know you are growing. I have a lot of experience with the tape measure. I've had my tape measure out many a times just on this little project. You too, Doug. By the way, we'll be done this week. It's all welded and we'll finish it up, get the carpeting. What? Yeah, a measuring tape. I like the tape measure, but either way, it's the same thing. And you measure how tall how long your baby is. And then one day when your baby can walk, then you measure how tall your baby is. But you use that to measure the growth of your child. So and you can also use a scale to measure the weight of something. A Christian's measuring stick is the manifestation. That means seeing the Word of God lived out in your life. And it is the fruit of the Spirit being seen in your life. Real believers live that Bible life that you read about. Real believers have a change in their attitude, and the fruit of the Spirit becomes, it's called the fruit of the Spirit, meaning it's the character and nature of God himself in you, and you take on his characteristics and his nature. It's only God that can make it that someone can punch you in the face and you can love them back. Only God can work something like that in us. When people are despising you and hating you, that you can mourn and grieve for their soul. I used to say, God, let that be in me, and he made it in me. Not always, but it's growth. I know the Lord's moving and working in me. You know, memorizing the Word of God is a wonderful thing. Like I said, I wish I would have kept on doing it, but that doesn't necessarily mean spiritual growth is happening. You can memorize Scripture, and it doesn't mean that you're growing in the Lord. When the word has meaning, when it speaks to your heart, when it encourages you, I'm talking about the word, when it has meaning in your life, when you read it, when it speaks to your heart, when you read it, when it encourages you, when it reproves, rebukes, and exhorts you, then that is a sign of spiritual growth. It's dealing with you. It's ministering to you. And of course, you have to respond to that. But if you are absent of delight for the Word of God, then you are in a funk. And that means a state of melancholy and hopeless sadness. But as long as the Word of God has an effect on you, you are growing if you cooperate with the Word. I still love, I told you many times I've read the Bible through, I still love reading it just as much as I always have. I know. When I start from the beginning, I know it's going to say in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, but I still look forward to reading it. It's like, tell Joy I'm done with the book of Revelation. Now back to Genesis. So Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." A manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is a major sign of growth. And you know, here's what I really like about it. Because sometimes you're a Christian and you can actually forget. I mean, I've totally forgot what my heathen life was like 36 years ago. You know, I can remember things I did, but I forget what I felt like or what I thought back then. And sometimes you don't necessarily see your growth, but when you can see that your attitude is changing, when you can see you're having a different view towards people, that your heart is starting to go out towards people, and of course the fruit of the Spirit is really a lot about our relationship towards people, right? Of course we have to love God and all that, but it changes us so much that it has an effect on our view and how we handle people. And that's one of the things I love about the fruit of the Spirit. When you know how you used to think and what your attitude was and you see that changed, you cannot help but give glory to God. You might think you're being proud for a moment and thinking, oh, good, look at what I've become. I'm telling you, praise God for it. He did that in you. He allowed His Holy Spirit to come in you and manifest the fruit of the Spirit in your life that you actually can take notice. It's like, I was never like that. I would have never handled this the way I am now. Years ago, I've heard so many people say, someone would have said that to me 5 years ago, and I would have blew my stack. And then they're like amazed. It's like, boy, it didn't even bother me. Praise God. That's a great sign of a great measuring line that you are growing in the Lord. I want you to know you're growing in the Lord. I want you to thank God that you're growing in the Lord. I don't want you to look back and say, oh, I could have been this, I could have been that. You know what? Today's the new day. Today's the day to go forward in the Lord. And you know what? He does make up for lost ground too. He does do that. And I don't want to fail to say that. He can make up for things where you've been a bonehead, a knucklehead for a long time. Then you come to realization, it's just like that. He can restore to years the canker and the palmer worm, and all of them have destroyed. Amen. He's done that for me. Hasn't He done that for you? Doesn't He always go above and beyond in our lives? Amen. Praise God. You'll shift from a self-seeking life to a seeking the spiritual well-being of others. Amen. Another thing that will happen to you and you'll know you're growing is there will be a growing distaste for sin in your life. As you grow in the Lord, you'll be farther removed from sin. You can actually forget what your old life was like, which I did. Many things that we have been involved in this world are not necessarily even wrong, but can often be a distraction from the things of God, which can hinder growth. So you can be doing things that nobody in the world would say is wrong, but for some reason, like, you know what? This right now is a distraction from my walk with the Lord, so I'm just going to put that aside. Doesn't mean that I can't again, but for whatever, so that, again, it doesn't even have to be something that's wrong, but something that may hinder your growth. So we have to be mindful of that. When you find yourself growing less interested in those things, it is a sign of growth. Amen. I realize I also get less interested in things too, just because I'm getting older and I can't even do them anymore. I used to like to play basketball a lot, but I can't anymore. Israel would be brought into the land little by little. That's what we read in our text. So they would not be overcome by the beast of the field. When you look up that word beast, it actually has a connotation or gives a suggestion, and it's not meaning animals, but it's life itself, the obstacles of life. It was, and read it for yourself, but it's not necessarily talking about lions and bears and things like that. But he's saying, if I take you in too quick, it'll be overwhelming to you. This land will be overwhelming. So why do we grow little by little after removing taken away the factor because we refuse to grow. It's because if God brings us along too fast, pride will enter in. Doesn't even say that about ministers. Let them not be a novice, because they'll get proud and come to the same receive the same condemnation as the devil. So if he brings us along too fast, pride can enter into our heart. Or we might think that we know more than we do, as if we arrived. Have any of you ever thought you know more? Yeah. That's why they say hire a teenager while he knows everything. Don't worry, Caleb, I'm helping you know everything. if we would grow too fast, we could easily look down our nose at others. Or we would be too impatient toward others to grow. There are some churches, I don't believe we're one of those, but if a new believer didn't cut his hair or wear the right uniform right away, the church would be hinting and jumping all over them, and they would never be satisfied until that person looked just like them. I had a young man I led to the Lord, my neighbor across the street, Bill Anderson. A lot of you know him. He listened to some goofy music and stuff, but one day we were driving in the car, and he's asking me about his albums, his secular music, and he asked me, you know, he wanted me to kind of make the decision for him what he should do with it. And I avoided the whole thing by just saying, you know what, Bill? Let's let the Lord show you what you need to do with those albums or what you should do. And it wasn't, I don't know, maybe a month or two, he was done with it. I never told him a thing. I'll let the Lord decide these things. I don't want a young believer to get all bogged down with all of these things. But just learn to let the Spirit convict and lead his life. We can see, because of this principle of little by little, that it makes the little a very important thing. If you grew little by little, then that makes little very important in your life. It makes the little kind of big. This year I will celebrate my 43rd wedding anniversary. I wasn't telling you that for an applause, but thank you anyway. And we've definitely had our romantic moments, and we certainly had our vacations and things together. But our marriage really grew one day at a time by the simple things. That's what caused it to grow. Shut the alarm clock off, climb out of bed, get dressed, have some breakfast, kiss Joy goodbye, head off to work, come home, supper on the table, the kids gathered around, do our evening things and go to bed, and get up the next morning and repeat. But I'm telling you, that's where our marriage grew. The everyday simple routine of life. The everyday simple routine of living for the Lord. Every morning I got up was adding strength to our marriage and to our family. Every supper that Joy cooked added strength to our marriage and our family. Our marriage had more of the routine days and familiar days than any other kind of day. I sure appreciated those little getaways we could get away here and there and go to, you know, for a weekend or something. And those are wonderful. And they add to the marriage, no doubt. But it's every day. They're mind made up. There's another principle when we talk about little by little, and it works in the opposite way. And Isaiah has this scripture twice about precept upon precept, but it's in a little different text this time. It says in Isaiah 28:12-13, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. The very thing that can cause growth in your life is the very thing that kept people out of the kingdom as well, because all it was to them was law. All it was to them was these rules, and they never found the Christ. That's why Jesus said to those religious leaders, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." See, it says that, again, it says, to you, but the word of the Lord was to them, that's those Pharisees, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. They were doing it accurately. They were doing it to the best of their ability, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. It's because they read it line upon line, precept upon precept, and then they're looking at the living word of God himself, and they didn't see it because they never let it go into their heart. They never let it become the life of God in them. And they were actually fulfilling that the Pharisees were actually fulfilling that scripture in Isaiah. So that word little, in keeping with this text, means to dwindle. And when you look up the word little in the Hebrew, it means dwindle. And it means small. So just as one grows in the Lord little by little, here's what can happen. You can drift away from the Lord. And that usually, almost all the time, happens little by little. Every once in a while, you know, I'll see someone, they get saved, and then after they realize what they're in, they say, "Nah, I'm out of here," and they just go on back into the world. But if I've seen Christians fall, it's little by little. They never wake up in the morning with, I'm just going to go and live in sin today. I have a desire to disobey God today. But just the little thing, they won't, you know, same thing. If I would have, in my marriage, if I would have allowed myself to get chummy with some other lady somewhere along the line, that little by little could have captured my heart. So just little by little, we can drift away and fall away from the Lord. Just leave your Bible on the table instead of reading it, because after all, you got a busy schedule, miss your prayer time, miss prayer meetings, because the other things are important. Don't go to church as much anymore, because and for no apparent reason. I'm not talking about vacations and things like that. Give in to sin a little bit, because it's only a little sin. Just a little lie, a little second look, just the words of God, one little word of gossip, one small complaint. One time I heard a guy, they were going to baptize him, and he's giving a testimony, and then he goes, he says, "Well, the Lord told me to say it, then bury it." And I go, "Well, that's the same thing when he told me that same story. Evidently, he never did bury it. Just want to one more time give a little gossip or something." Christians backslide little by little, one day at a time. Then you know what happens? The backslider loses his vision. He loses his spiritual eyesight at such a point that he never realizes that his eyes are growing dim. You ever hear that about a frog? I know that's a very popular sermon title. You can take a frog, put a pot on the stove with water in it, turn on the flame, put the frog in there, and that frog will never jump out of there. He adjusts to the temperature till one day he's cooked. And he never even knew it. That's what they say. I never tried it, but that's what they say about the frog. Well, we can adjust too. Just as we grow little by little, we adjust to the nature and character of God. We adjust to the kingdom of God. We adjust to the word of God. Same thing, we can start adjusting to the things of the world again and sin. So just as we grow little by little, so we don't get overcome with pride, our backsliding happens little by little, which gives us time to come to our senses and repent. Sometimes God lets us see the end results of chasing after a desire to bring us to repentance. The Lord allowed that for a thing in my life, to let it go far enough. And then one day I realized this has captured my heart and I had to repent of it. So if you have decided in your heart that you want to back down a little bit and you have started the first little of that little by little dwindling that'll lead you away from God, you can come back today. And the answer is what it always is, repentance, putting it before the Lord, and it'll draw you back to God. And you can even make up for some of those years you've wasted, some of the time you've wasted. You know, one day you and I will be weighed in the balances, and we don't want to be found wanting. We want to be heavy with God in our lives. So you can stop right where you're at and get back on the narrow way. If you want more of God, press in, seek him, and little by little, you'll know him more. Never despise. You know, people get so caught up in despising their slow growth that they don't realize they stopped. And if they would have just kept up, they would have been all the way up to that wall by now. Just keep on going forward. Thank him for the growth he's given you. Stay faithful. Live right. Read your word. Believe your word. Pray. Stay in fellowship. We're going to be in fellowship more. I'm convinced that. I'm not going to go as far as telling you I'm prophesying. But the church, as these days get dark, we're going to, just like the early church, they met daily. We might not always be here together, but we're going to find ourselves together. This is it. These are our brothers and sisters, saints. That world's crazy. We're not. That world stands over here and says, those Christians are crazy. We're not. But we know we have the truth. Amen. These are the ingredients for spiritual growth. Your word is given to you to grow. Prayer is given to you to grow. Christian fellowship is given to us to grow. Pastors are given to you to grow. Amen. Aren't you glad that I grow? It'd be terrible if I was warped and whatever. I couldn't help anybody grow. So anyways, Jeremy, maybe come on up and play a song. And let's just, if you need to just, you know, if you realize that you're kind of been going the other way a little bit, kind of dwindling instead of growing in the Lord, the altar's open. You don't have to repent to me. You don't have to repent to anybody. Repent to God and just be serious with him. And he'll just bring you back in. I'm telling you, I think he'll bring you back in like you didn't even miss anything. Really, that's the kind of God he is. If your growth has been stunted and you've been resisting your word and prayer and getting to know God and Jesus, then start that up again. And I know some people may disagree with me, but if you have to set a time, do it. I did. I set a prayer time for much of my life. I don't ever look back and regret it. I'm like, praise God. I do some self-control, some spiritual self-control to pursue God. And it's all towards knowing and growing in him. So the altar's open. You can spend time with the Lord. If there's people up at the altar, just remember to practice some courtesy and you want to go out. That doesn't mean you're unspiritual because you don't feel the call to come up here. Don't ever feel like that. That's why I'm not like a big altar call person where like every Sunday you got to have an altar call they think you're wrong. But it's like I have them when I feel moved and they're for people that want it. Don't ever feel like you have to come up or people are going to view you. You need to go out. Just go out there and talk. Maybe you want to come and pray and stand. You don't be careful if you're going to pray for somebody that they're not in the middle of talking to the Lord and you interrupt it. So I'm always careful too that I'm not always so quick to pray with people. If I invite them up for a certain thing, I might pray that with them. So, but if you're led of the Lord, I want you to minister or come and stand alongside of them. You don't have to say anything. Just be in agreement with them. So the altar's open, and just wherever your seats, and just spend some time in the presence of the Lord and just renewing your relationship, thanking him for the growth you've had in your life. You don't always have to put yourself down. Little by little, he's bringing us in. Praise God. Bringing us into the riches in Christ. Amen.